So this kind of stripped down service, I really needed this myself because it makes me think, is God enough for me? Or to worship Him, do I need, you know, the drums going, electric guitar, which is great. I'm into all of it. But I was just reminded this morning, God is so great that if we just had voices, wouldn't that be good enough? Because He's an amazing God. And I've been here over 25 years. I tell people I started when I was 15. I wasn't 15. Been here over 25 years, though. And the difficult part is I've seen many people throughout the years raise their arms and worshiping the Lord and serving Him. Then all of a sudden, they fall off the radar. They no longer come to church. Their life is not joyful, and something happened. Something went wrong. That's the advantage and disadvantage of being here 25 years, where people come and go, not with River of Life, but in their relationship with God. And so how do we grow? How do we grow in such a way that even though God will never leave us or forsake us, that we believe this, and we will never leave Him. When it comes to spiritual growth, there's some people that are very active. If it's going to be, it's got to be me. That's their attitude. There's other people, it's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. I'm just here. He's just working in and through me. I think it's a combination of the two. Don't you agree? Kind of a working agreement. But I think what is key is who's the first mover? I believe we have to work out what God works in. That He works in first, and whatever He works in us, we have to work out. And this is key. Because if your thinking is no, God works out what we work in, if that's your thinking, that's humanism. That's so far from God. And it's in the church where we're going to work real hard, the energy of the flesh, and then God's going to work out what I work in. And that's dangerous. And it's dangerous in the workplace, in your marriage, in your singlehood. It will lead you nowhere. And so this morning, we want to talk about the truth that we work out what God works in. And we're going to look at this passage, Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue. So they're believers. Continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. So it says continue to work out your own salvation. It doesn't say work for your salvation. We don't work for our salvation. We receive salvation. It's a gift of God. He died on the cross for our sins. And we come to that point of figuring out that we can't take care of our sin issues, our sin problem. And Jesus did, and we just confess to Him, we repent, we turn to Him and say, I receive your gift of salvation on the cross. I did it at the age of 22, and my life has never been the same. Have not been perfect throughout it, but I'll tell you, it's the best thing. So we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So we're in this therapeutic age. We're not supposed to fear God. He's our buddy. And you're right, we're in this therapeutic age, and God is love. God is also truth. But we don't fear God in a way, if you're a Jesus follower, you don't fear God the way you might fear a father, an earthly father who disciplines unnecessarily or unruly or is actually mean at the core. But what we fear is not God. What we fear is not working out our salvation. That's what we should fear. When's the last time you feared not working out your salvation? Silence in the house. And when I read this, it was silence in my soul. Because I was reminded that, do I really fear working out my salvation? Someday I'm going to stand before God, held accountable for working out the salvation that He gave me by grace, that I received by grace. And so we have to work out what He works in. So if I see you in Target or Walmart, I'm going to start that sentence and you're going to finish it. We have to work out what He works in. That was, ugh. We have to work out what He works in. That's the caffeine coffee response. Hopefully Holy Spirit response I was looking for. So what does He work in? Now this passage doesn't deal with what He works in, but it has a lot to do with becoming like Jesus. Because the text before this, that John Muffler, Pastor John just hit it out of the park last week about Jesus, His kenosis or emptying out of Himself, how He humbled Himself even unto death, was obedient to the Father, and Father raised Him up. So somehow, to work out our salvation, we have to look more like Jesus. Because if our goal here is to help people find and follow Jesus, shouldn't we look like Jesus? Shouldn't we be able to say to people, well, look at my life, and this looks a little bit like what Jesus wants. And it says, I can't, you can through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I'm going to leave, and you're going to be like little Christ, little Christians. That's what Christian means, a little Christ. So let's receive our true identity. And so let's work out what God has worked in. What has God worked in? I'm going to go outside the text I came up with in my mind's eye and looking at Scripture. And let's see, I saved it 22, so, well, that's a lot. Over 35 years of struggling in my own life, trying to figure out this working relationship with God, His part, my part. And I have three ways that He works in us, three of His part, three tools. And the first is easy. It's just called the Bible. It's just called the Bible, God's part. All Scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the man of God or woman may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture's inspired by God. You folks, let's wake up smelling salt. The Bible, just in case we go off here electronically, I got this old school. It's called the Bible. Just FYI, all this electronic stuff. Okay. It's called the Bible. And you have it on your iPhones, whatever. God gave us His inspired word. I mean, this is a big deal. Throughout the centuries, it's been protected by God. First, He handpicked the Jewish people, first called Hebrews, then called Jewish. And the prophets, they would write down His words, and they would protect it, and they were very detailed. They would cross every T and dot every I. Different nations tried to destroy the Bible. It never happened. When the Apostle Paul wrote this, he's referring to the Old Testament and the New Testament, everything from Genesis to Revelation. Are you awake? Good grief. Yeah, caught it. And this has got, so do we treasure the Word? Are we diligent? That's our response. An attitude of diligence. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so is your attitude as a Jesus follower, I'm going to rightly divide His word. That means I'm going to rightly apply His word. That should be the attitude. I'm not just going to rely on Dave or your favorite Bible teacher, scholar, whoever. Everything's online now, and you can listen to anything you want. I mean, it's great. But this is with you and God. It's with us. Are we going to encourage each other together as a congregation? Are you rightly dividing the word? Are you living out the word? Could you imagine doing that as a congregation, to be together like this? Because again, this whole series, this whole summer series on being together as a church, what does this mean? It means where we challenge each other, encourage each other to live out and rightly divide the word. Are you studying? Are you meditating on the word? Read Psalm 1. If you meditate on the word of God, you'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth much fruit in every season. It's just wonderful. That's what the Holy Spirit will do through you. Are we encouraging each other? Come on, are you encouraging your spouse, encouraging your kids? Kids, are you encouraging your parents to be diligent? And it matters because the battle's in the mind. Have you figured that one out? The battle is in the mind. It's crazy. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. By the way, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the God I want to follow. And so do you, as a Jesus follower, do you have the mindset that you are in spiritual battle every day? In the battles in the mind. And parents, Ann and I pray over our adult kids to this day. We pray the armor over them, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. We intercede on their behalf for each other, and they're adults, because we are in warfare, and the battle is in the mind. That helmet of salvation is first for a reason. The salvation, the victory. You need the helmet around your head. You have to watch what you look at. Because, you know, you ever figured out this is so simple? Your eyes are right here and your brain's right here. Okay. And so Job says, make a covenant with your eyes. I mean, are we diligent? I'm thinking, I like Rocky Balboa, the Italian stallion. The first time he fought Apollo Creed, no one thought he had a chance. And he worked out, and he was all heart, not a lot of brain. Love the guy. And they went 15 rounds, and Apollo Creed won just barely. But they're so bruised up that they're in the hospital, both in the same hospital. Remember that scene where Rocky wheels his chair into Apollo's room? Remember what he asked him? Remember? Did you give it your best shot? Did you try your hardest? And Apollo said, I tried my hardest. Whew. Are you giving it your best shot? Are you trying your hardest? God has given us his word. We work out what he works in. The first thing he's given us is his Bible, his love letter to us. Therefore, we should be utterly diligent. The second thing he gives us is his Holy Spirit. It's going to get scary now. Anytime you talk about the Holy Spirit, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. By the way, when it says another in Greek, there's two words for another. Another of a different kind and another of the same kind. And this is the Greek word, another of the same kind. And so Jesus is saying, I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor like me of the same kind. And so because Jesus has been hanging out with them for 3 years, they really got close to him. And they know he's going to leave. They're all getting scared. It's okay. I'm sending someone just like me. He's going to be a counselor, the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. This is really cool, because the Spirit of God at this point, like if you look in the Old Testament, he would come into prophets, priests, and kings at different times and give them supernatural strength or wisdom, and then he would leave. That's why David says in the Psalm, cast not your Holy Spirit from me. That's good Old Testament thinking. We don't have to sing that song with the new covenant, because once you receive Christ as your Savior, the Spirit's in you forever. He will never leave you or forsake you. And he's with you. But I like singing the song because it's just endearing. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. That was old theology thinking. But the Holy Spirit has you, but do you have the Holy Spirit? You know what I'm saying? Are you really exercising your life in such a way where you're tapping into him? You know him, for he lives with you. He's going to be in you. And on the day of Pentecost, something supernatural happened. The Holy Spirit fell on all people, not just prophets, priests, and kings. He fell on every Christ follower. Woman, man, child, student, adult. He starts speaking in tongues and prophesying. It was absolutely amazing what was happening. Crazy stuff. It was an eye-opening. The Holy Spirit of God coming in a new way. I will not leave you as orphans. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. And this is the scary part. Because we don't often think of the Holy Spirit as equal to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Scriptures. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Scriptures. And it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And yes, we don't worship this. We don't worship Scripture, right? You with me on this? We worship Jesus. We worship God the Father. We worship the Holy Spirit. Three in one. And at this point, we have to trust. We have to trust, because if you really open yourself up to everything God has for you, it's all about the Holy Spirit. It was God the Father in the Old Testament times, God the Son when the Gospels were written, and since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's God the Holy Spirit. And so many people had weird, sometimes inappropriate, dangerous experiences under so-called Holy Spirit leaders or churches that you have decided never to go into that space, and so you have left it, and you have been ripped off, and you have no joy, and God wants to work something in you. He wants you to work it out, what He's worked in you, and it's going to take trust, a lot of trust. The wind blows. Now, the wind's the Holy Spirit. One of the words in Hebrew for Holy Spirit is wind. And where there's the wind of God's Spirit, listen up, there's waves of resistance. Boy, y'all quiet today. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Born again. Remember back in the 70s, how many old enough? The born again? Come on, the older folks. Oh, born again. Are you born again? And bumper stickers were really big back then. Remember that? Born again. And everyone's like, then there was a reaction against the whole born again. John 3, Nicodemus. And it's true though. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you're born again. And He sends you the Holy Spirit in you, and you've got a new life. It's true. And then it gets scary. And I remember dating a gal. Her name was Jennifer. Won't give her last name in case she's watching online or what. I don't know what's going on electronically. Jennifer was always kind of a techie person. And so, Jennifer, hi, if you're out there. And so, haven't seen, it's been years. But I went to her church. Her dad was the worship leader, and I was from a strict Baptist church where if you raised your hand in worship, the usher would come up and say, what do you want? And we believe that the gifts of the Spirit ended when the Scriptures were formed, the canon of Scriptures, that there was no more need for prophecy and tongues because we had the Bible. And so at the church I grew up in, we learned the Bible really well. The pastor, he's in glory now. He was a half-Jewish man, and he studied to be a lawyer, super smart, went verse by verse, was converted to Christianity. He had the whole New Testament memorized and three-quarters of the Old Testament memorized, seriously. But he taught, and I love him to this day, he taught that all those gifts left when the Bible was formed. Then I went off to school and learned differently. But before I learned differently, I was with Jennifer. She was cute. We were dating. Went to her church. Man, stuff went on there I ain't never seen before. People, first of all, then people dancing and people falling. And at the church I grew up in, if you fall, you don't get brownie points. But at this church, you got brownie points if you fell. And they called it slain in the spirit. And some people shouting and laughing. I left, and I was so young and so immature that I, and so arrogant. And afterwards, Jennifer and her parents, and her dad's a song leader here, and he asked me how I liked it. I said, and I was pretty strong and very arrogant. I just said, I didn't like it. I didn't sense it was healthy. What an arrogant 17-year-old. And that began a stronghold in my life. Not to be open to the things of the Spirit. Then in seminary, I decided to do an inductive Bible study on 1 Corinthians 14, specifically on prophesying. And I walked out of my study, and Debbie at the time, she's of course still alive, and she said, "What's wrong?" Because I looked sick. I said, "Well, according to studying the Bible, just studying the Word, no commentary, just the Word, these gifts are still around." And all my friends, the people I look up to scripturally and theologically are all very conservative, but I have to be a person of integrity. And then thus God began a work in me where I began to be open to the things of the Spirit of God. And the crazy stuff happened where he gave me words of knowledge for people to pray healing and this and that, just crazy things. And then I came here, the River of Life, 25 years ago and a few months, and I remember saying to there were 20 of us, saying, "Someday God's going to send the Holy Spirit at this church." And there's been pockets of it. There's been pockets of it. But you know what happens? Pastor Dave gets too busy doing ministry and doing this, doing that. Sometimes you get busy doing good things, you don't do the great things. God's moving in our church. And he's bringing the full work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure what it looks like. But we have to simply put our sail up because he's going to blow where he wills. And the rudder, to me, is the Word of God. Because God will always, but the Word of God is, there's a lot there. There's a lot there where the Holy Spirit can work. So hang on. You know, we want to be a healthy church. That's our vision. H-E-R, because we're the bride of Christ. H is the Holy Spirit. E is equipping. R is relationships before rights, but Holy Spirit's first for a reason, not just because it's H and her. I get it. But Holy Spirit. And we have to hear his voice. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. So this is for believers listening to the voice of God. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them. He doesn't drive us. We're not cattle. We're sheep. So he leads us. He goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because we know his what? His voice. You want to know the voice of God? Study this till your brains fall out because it's all about him. This is Logos, the written word, then get into rhema, which is another Greek word, for the voice of God. But now you have a really good filter. And now rhema can, now the voice of God can really speak to you. And you're kind of nervous what he might have you, what if you break out in tongues? Tongues, but there's no interpreter. Well, read 1 Corinthians 14. The first two verses, there definitely seems to be a prayer language. What if God gives you a word of knowledge to share with someone and you share it with them? First time it happened to me, it was amazing. It built my faith up. And God is glorified, and you are just, now I know what it means to have a personal relationship with God. This is going way beyond just attending church, listening to a sermon, singing a few songs. I have a personal relationship with God. He speaks to me, and I have to listen. I got to shut down the music. Not just have a food fast, have an electronic fast. Try for a half hour. You'll probably die in the vine. A half hour without electronic, without your phone. And I am addicted to my phone. Honestly, I am. Ann's talked to me about it. I'm going deep, sorry. So once in a while, I just put my phone away, turn it off. And then God speaks. When's the last time you heard his voice? So we're supposed to work out what God works in. First thing he works in is his Bible, the scriptures. It's his Bible. He's given it to us. We're going to be utterly diligent. The second thing is his Holy Spirit, and we are going to trust him. Are you with me, church? Because the H-E-R, the Holy Spirit, equipping relationships before rights, is going to dictate our preaching series. Pastor John Muffler and I got together last week for a couple hours. We're two guys wired like that to stay together for 2 hours in a coffee shop. You know the Holy Spirit's there. Just FYI. Because I was kind of like him energy-wise 20 years ago. And I just laugh at him. I love him. And we're working on this. Let's open up the Word and talk about the Holy Spirit for a while. It's a church. See what God takes us. Now let's talk about equipping. Then let's talk about relationships before rights. So pray for us as God guides us. And so we work out what God works in. And the third thing he works in is circumstances. This is where it gets a little dicey. Circumstances. Because when he gives us circumstances, our response is to diligently discover the what. What's going on? If you're a follower of Jesus, now if everything's going great, you never ask what. You're just like, this is awesome, you know? Kids are doing good. Steak's on the grill. Everything's clean. You just, life is good. And once in a while, God, enjoy that. Enjoy it. But it won't last long. We all know that. I'm not being dumb, but that's just the way life is. Are you with me on this? I mean, I'm Tigger. I'm not Eeyore. I'm Tigger by nature. But even Tigger realizes that the only reason you have peaks is because there's valleys. If there were no valleys, there'd be no peaks. And so when the bad circumstances come, as a follower of Jesus, you say, okay, what's going on? And you ask the Spirit, am I being disciplined or am I being pruned? Hebrews 12 says that God disciplines his children because he loves them. And so if he disciplining us, there's one response. It's repent. But then sometimes, like, man, you're fasting, you're loving on your spouse, you're loving your kids, you're even trying to love your mother-in-law, right? I mean, things are going really good. And all of a sudden, you're like giving all your money to the poor. I mean, you're just like, and then all of a sudden, life gets tough. And it's like, God, I'm doing my part. And your heart's good. Well, guess what? He's pruning you. John 15, you're bearing fruit. He's like, you are awesome. I'm going to bear more fruit through you, so I'm going to cut off some good limbs. Ow, ow, that hurts. You like the visual? I mean, I'm trying to keep you all awake. There's something going on here. And so you have to ask yourself, what's going on? And so, like, I forgot about this verse. Circumstances. I want to speak into this. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Okay, that's a good verse. I want to put that in there because people say this. If you become a Christian, life will be so sweet. Be like cherry pie, whatever your favorite flavor is. Now, you know mine. You can make me one. That's fine. That's crazy. If anything, life might get more difficult. But in the difficulty, we have joy. Why? Because we are armed with God. Are you kidding me? Anyone here want a good fight where you know you're going to win? I mean, come on! Now, he's won the war because he resurrected from the dead. We get that, and we have all these battles. We understand it. But we have a chance to win all the battles. Everyone. Are you excited about this? And so, what do you do with the circumstances? So here's the part where we rejoice. We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. And so this is if you're kind of living a pure life with God and he's pruning you, we are to rejoice and we will not be disappointed because hope is what some of you have to hear this morning. Hope. Some of you need this verse. Some of you are living for the Lord. Things just aren't falling in place. Life, it's just not, you know, in what God is, God says, I believe in you so much that I'm going to prune you and it's going to hurt. But that's when you go to Scripture and say, okay, I'm going to have hope that you're a good God and I'm not going to turn my face from you. I'm going to continue living for you even if I don't feel like it. I'm going to faith this one out. I'm going to faith it out. I don't feel like loving my spouse and loving everyone and giving my time, talents, and treasures to you and how you lead. I don't feel like doing that, but I'm going to faith it because my future is going to be better because of who you are. Now you have a personal relationship with God, and he's going to look down on you and say, you know my word, you know my ways, and now we can have this relationship. But what about if you're living in sin? And I'm not talking about, you know, like some people are, got to watch time here. Some people are so self-absorbed and maybe because of their childhood or whatever, maybe, I don't know if it was potty training at gunpoint, something happened where they want to beat themselves up all the time. Like sometimes when I do a hellfire and brimstone, people come up and say, oh, that was so good, I love it. Punch me again, you'll punch me. I'm like, wow, man, you know. You're the guy that keeps counselors, like, rich, you know. And so, if you're living for the Lord and you lust, or you know, it's a random thing, you confess, you repent. I'm talking about if there's strongholds where you're repeatedly being judgmental, bitter, unhappy, gossiping, addiction, name it, then you have to repent. You have to repent. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come to the Lord. That times of refreshing may come to the Lord. See, it starts and ends with God. Okay, he's everything. And so do we talk about repentance enough? You know, it says, our mission statement is to help people find and follow Jesus. So basically, that's another way of saying repentance. Because following Jesus is you turn and you follow him. That's what that means. So repentance is turning a 180 from yourself and following Jesus. And repentance should be thoughtful and not quick and saying, I'm going to count the cost to turn to you and walk. I'm going to count the cost by getting professional help, professional counseling, or prayer. I'm finally going to, here's a big one. I'm going to release the secret. This is huge. I'm going to release the secret because no one knows what I'm struggling with. No one. And I'm going to share it with some people I can trust. The whole thing. not just half of it, whatever your issue is, whatever it is. And that takes pride to humility. And that's when the Spirit of God starts working and people pray. And then when you find out the guy praying for you says, man, I got the same issue. And that's where the community comes together and says, let's pray for each other, man. Let's iron sharpens iron. Let's do this. And so a little test right now. We work out what God works in. The first thing God works in is the Bible, and our response is to be what? Diligent. That was weak. Be diligent. The second thing God works in is what? Who? Ooh, that's a little bit more confident. The Holy Spirit, we're going to trust Him. And the third thing God works in is what? It's like a tool He uses. Circumstances. And so when that happens, we're going to stop in our tracks and say, okay, what's going on? Is God pruning me for more fruit? If He is, I'm going to rejoice. Or is He disciplining me because I'm living in sin? And if so, I'm going to repent. And so, the 1st of June, I opened up, after the worship, a call to prayer for our president. We prayed for President Trump. Doesn't matter if he's Democrat, Republican. We always pray for the president, whoever it is. We prayed for President Trump. This is under Franklin Graham and Tony Perkins and other godly men. And now they're asking evangelical churches across the nation, they're calling it call to fall, to pray for our nation, to repent and pray for our nation. It's called call to fall. If you Google it, it will come up everywhere. And so we're going to end this service with a prayer of repentance. And I'm going to be on my knees. You don't have to be on your knees because some of you, that just doesn't work for you physically. And if you're sitting there in the chair and head bowed, that's a sign of humility. But if you want to join me, and Kelsey, if you want to come up here and get behind that piano right now, first we're going to have a time of silence with just praying repentance based on God's word, this message in your own life. And then I'm going to pray out loud a prayer of repentance for our nation. And so if everyone could join in prayer, and if you're visiting with us, you can still join us. If you say, well, I'm not a Christ follower yet, you know what? You're made in the image of God, and I bet you've prayed before. Join us in prayer and see what God does through that prayer in and through you. And so I'm going to ask you to join me. I'm just going to get on my knees up here. Get on your knees if you're able to do that where you're sitting. And let's have a time of silence. And then I will close this in prayer. And then we will have prayer partners up for each one of us. Heavenly Father, we confess our foolishness of denying you as the one true and living God, our Creator, to whom we are accountable, living as though our lives are cosmic accident with no eternal significance, purpose, or meaning. We confess and we repent from no longer fearing you, and thus we have not even beginning to live with wisdom. Lord, we desire your wisdom instead of the foolishness. We confess to believing that the prosperity of our nation is because we are great, while refusing to acknowledge that all blessings come from your hand. We confess that we depend upon our military might and our weapons system to protect us from harm and danger, while denying and defying and ignoring you. We confess that we have succumbed to the pressure of pluralism and our desire to be inclusive, so that we honor other gods as though you're just one of many. We confess that we have allowed the material blessings you have given to us to deceive us into thinking we don't need you. We confess that we feel entitled to what someone else has earned instead of taking responsibility for ourselves and our families as we trust in you. We confess that we live as though material wealth and prosperity will bring happiness. We repent from such thinking. We confess our greed that has run up trillions of dollars of national debt. We confess our arrogance and pride that has led us to think we are sufficient in ourselves. We confess our national addiction to sex, to money, to pleasure, to entertainment, to pornography, to technology, to drugs, to alcohol, to food, to television, to popularity, to ourselves. We confess that we have marginalized truth and mainstreamed lies. We confess that we have become one nation under many gods, divided and polarized, with license to sin and justice that often does not follow the rule of law. And Heavenly Father, may your church, may we as a church repent and return to you. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with your love and your truth. Give us boldness, sensitivity, listening ears. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.